The Haynesboro decides on Heath Scott for police chief after all. And the DOT tells the borough to paint over the Main Street salmon murals. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. After negotiations fell through just a week ago, the Haynesboro announced today that it hired Washington, D.C.-based Heath Scott as the next police chief. When Scott asked the borough for $27,000 in moving expenses on top of a $95,000 salary, things fell apart. The borough decided to cease negotiations and start the hiring process over again. But Wednesday morning, Haynes' new borough manager, Bill Seward, got a text from Scott asking them to reconsider. Here's Seward reading part of that text from Heath Scott.
Kenneth and I want to invest in our family, and the extra time we will have with one another and the kids is far more important than the cost of a move. Further, I feel I can help the community. And so I went ahead and accepted his invitation to reopen negotiations.
Scott asked for $20,000 in moving expenses with a 5-year commitment, but they eventually agreed on $15,000 for the move and a 3-year commitment. Seward said that's still more than the usual $10,000 the borough pays for moving assistance, but it's worth it.
In addition to the willingness to accept additional duties and responsibilities, if the assembly chose to pursue change in the chief of police position into the director of public safety.
At a personnel committee meeting earlier this week, Seward proposed turning the police chief position into the role of director of public safety. That new job would incorporate overseeing the full-time fire department employees. Details have yet to be worked out, pending more discussions with the Public Safety Commission, the Personnel Committee, and ultimately the Assembly.
In a nutshell, that's what he accepted. Having that kind of talent here in Haynes, I think, is going to be rare. And then he's willing to, you know, if the Assembly chose to change that position give it greater responsibility, his willingness to, train as a firefighter and then oversee that program is absolutely phenomenal.
Since 2008, Scott has been the deputy chief at an agency called the District of Columbia Protective Services Division. His education is focused on policing and includes a master's degree in criminal justice from Boston University. Scott is expected to take the reins as police chief on July 18th. A Haynes school teacher says she wasn't given a fair chance to keep her job for another year. Kindergarten teacher Sue Ackerman chose to bring her concern into the public light with a non-retention hearing. At the Tuesday proceedings, representatives for Ackerman and the school district made their case to the school board. As KHNS's Emily Files reports, the board affirmed the school district's non-retention decision.
Ackerman was a first-year teacher with a class of more than 20 kindergartners. She says she had a hard time in the beginning of the school year, but she made improvements. Ackerman was gone on maternity leave from November until the beginning of January. Shortly after she returned, Assistant Principal Cheryl Stickler notified her that the district would not be offering her a contract for the upcoming school year. Here's Ackerman.
Just to be, let go of, just so quickly. So, it was just something I hadn't thrown in the towel yet. I wasn't ready to give up.
Attorney John Sedor represents the Haynes School District. He referred to a recording of a January conversation between Stickler and Ackerman. In it, he said Ackerman asked for more time to show her capability. Sedor recounted Stickler's response.
She says in that tape, "My job is not to guarantee employment. My job is to make decisions that are in the best interest of students."
Sedor said school districts have virtually unlimited discretion as to whether to bring a non-tenured teacher back for the next year.
"This is simply a process by which the district says, thank you for your service, but we are not going to give you another contract next year."
Sedor went on to list instances that the district gave as examples supporting Ackerman's non-retention. They include Ackerman yelling at students, mishandling a lockdown drill, and failing to timely implement the school's discipline model. Ackerman's union representative, Debbie Olmsted, called those examples arbitrary, capricious, and false.
"We intend to show that the causes for the non-retention listed in April 11th letter are not accurate, that numerous accurate Alaska statutes were violated, as well as regulations, that the board policies and bylaws were not followed, and that the collective bargaining agreement was violated.
Olmstead contended that the district did not follow proper evaluation procedures. She said Stickler's first observation of Ackerman's classroom was positive. She said there was not documentation of concerns about Ackerman's teaching. Olmstead said shortly after Ackerman returned from maternity leave, Stickler conducted back-to-back observations. Shortly after that, Ackerman was told she would not be retained.
Clearly, there was an agenda here to get two observations done by the required time of the statute so the district could proceed with a non-retention process. However, that overlooks so many other evaluation requirements outlined in Alaska Statute 1420-149.
Among the violations, Olmstead said, was the fact that the district didn't post evaluation forms and information on its website to inform teachers about those procedures. Olmstead said the reasons for Ackerman's non-retention were trivial and/or not factual, and she called the district's actions cruel, because, she said, the kindergarten teacher job was advertised before Ackerman received her letter of non-retention.
It seems beyond cruel to me for a newly hired employee to contact Ms. Ackerman on March 4th and tell her she was offered the job and that she had accepted it and she would like pictures of her classroom.
In his closing statement, Sedor referred to Ackerman's request for more time before the district made a final decision.
But you don't have to accept performance down here. You can say, I want performance up here from the get-go. Not after 2 years, not after 1 year, not in April. You can expect that from day one, a certain level of performance. Ms. Ackerman didn't provide that.
Non-retention hearings rarely happen because most teachers opt to resign. Had Ms. Ackerman been treated fairly, had the district followed the statutes and board policy and the evaluation system, she would have. This did not happen, and we feel administrators need to be held accountable.
The five school board members present went into an executive session that lasted over an hour. Then the board voted unanimously to affirm the non-retention decision. Here's school board president Anne-Marie Palmieri.
On February 2nd, to the regular meeting, the school board approved issuing contracts to tenured and non-tenured teachers. Mrs. Ackerman was intentionally not included on this list. On May 10th, at the regular meeting, the school board scheduled this non-retention meeting and ratified that the superintendent's March 28th letter to Ms. Ackerman served as the board's notice of non-retention under our board policies.
Ackerman said that decision is what she expected. She said the unusual step of asking for a public hearing was worth it.
I think this is just kind of the beginning of the journey for me. I kind of see, you know, that I will be a lifelong advocate for especially first-year teachers.
Ackerman has also filed a complaint over her non-retention to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She said she is not sure about whether she will pursue further legal action. Palmieri said the school board hasn't yet discussed the concerns raised about the process the administration went through with Ackerman's non-retention. She said the lessons learned from this situation will be carried forward with the new superintendent. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The salmon murals on Main Street crosswalks that made waves in Haines recently will be gone sooner rather than later. The Alaska Department of Transportation told the borough to either wash them off or paint over them before the summer is up. The department cited safety concerns for axing the artwork. The murals depict happy schools of salmon and mermaids swimming across the road. The borough commissioned local artist Merrick Bocart to paint five murals to the tune of around $1,500. Aside from a few who questioned the cost of the project, most locals and visitors have enjoyed the spruced up street. But DOT says they pose a safety risk.
They are unhappy with it, and so we'll paint over.
That's Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan. He says the mural removal will happen as part of scheduled maintenance sometime in the coming weeks.
They weren't so excited that it had to happen today. We might wait until after the weekend even.
The paintings caused a stir a couple of weeks ago on social media when a Main Street business owner questioned the expense of the artwork.
The price is really low. And this is something that was arranged before me, and I think it's great.
But at the end of the day, Main Street is a state right-of-way, so the borough has to follow those rules. DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow says it's not that the department doesn't support public art. He says they looked into how to keep the mural, but there are federal regulations in place to maintain safety that they have to follow, and it's as simple as that. Here's Woodrow.
They're federally funded roads, and due to federal funding rules, all crosswalks have to meet certain guidelines that make sure that they're extremely visible to motorists and to pedestrians. Any type of additional markings doesn't comply with national standards and therefore could lead to accidents in the crosswalks. And that's something that we definitely don't want to happen. Safety is always first.
Woodrow says the issue is not about who is liable should something happen in the crosswalk. It's just about safety.
You know, anything that could distract a driver or make a pedestrian less visible is something that we want to avoid. And there's a reason why crosswalks are marked the way they are. It's because they stand out on the pavement and they're very visible to both drivers and pedestrians. And they also, because it's a standard, people are used to what they're seeing. Anything that deviates from that standard can lead to, could potentially lead to an accident.
Woodrow says DOT was contacted by the borough last fall with the idea of painting murals in the crosswalks, but the conversation never progressed. He says if it had, they would have shut it down back then.
We aren't going to make them spend more than the cost of the paint to get rid of it, but there are different ways you can get rid of it. One of the options is just paint over it with black paint.
The mural on Beach Road in front of the cruise ship dock is not a state right-of-way, so it's safe. Ryan says he's disappointed with the decision to cover up the Main Street salmon, especially because the Haines School wanted to have fish murals painted on the crosswalks outside that building on DOT roads. He says he understands why they put the kibosh on the artwork, but he would have thought that they had, quote, bigger fish to fry. If you love listening to the KHNS News as much as we love sharing it with you, call in your pledge now, 766-2020 or 983-2853. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thanks for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can always listen to or read local news stories on our website at khns.org.